Is there a sinister group of people working behind the scenes to ensure that the world heads a particular direction? The deep state, shadow government, fact or fiction? And what does money have to do with it? Before I go any further, my name is Rabbi Daniel Malinga. This is the RDM podcast. Today, to discuss this particular topic, I have a few people who are experts in the field. We have Afimani McLean, businessman, thinker, guru, future billionaire. Afimani, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
We have Julius Mukiza, a real estate consultant and also likes to discuss matters of wealth.
Exactly. Thank you, Rabbi.
Then we have Michael Malik Mugabe. He is an expert in financial investments. Michael, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
Gentlemen,
yep.
We have a topic here at hand.
Mm.
There are people saying that all this stuff about shadow governments and deep states are just a conspiracy. Fact or fiction?
Are they sure of what they're saying?
that's what we have to first establish. Huh? Yeah. Are they sure?
Fact or fiction? And from a biblical perspective, I want to set a foundation.
Yeah.
And then we'll go ahead and see where the discussion takes us.
Mm.
There are natural governments,
mm.
but there are also spiritual
governments.
The spiritual governments rule over the natural governments. And in the spiritual government, there are only two sides, darkness and light.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
Now, for the spiritual government to impart its agenda in the natural, it needs a man.
Mm-hmm.
Very true.
Okay? So spirits can't impart their agenda on earth unless there's a physical man they can use. So we can agree then that for a spiritual agenda to enter the spiritual realm through a natural government, there has to be a man in the government who has been submitted to.
Yes.
You're with me?
Yes.
Yeah.
So we agree there are spiritual agendas just as there are natural agendas.
Yes. Correct.
If there are spiritual governments, that means there are also spiritual systems.
Very true.
Mm-hmm.
You're with me?
Yes.
Yes. Very, very true.
Okay. Now, if there are spiritual systems, there are some that we can identify within the Bible, and we're going to discuss this. The chief that started at the Tower of Babel, the chief system that started at the Tower of Babel, and in the end times will be at its peak, is called the Babylonian system. Okay?
Yes.
It's not birthed on earth. On earth, it has a spiritual origin. The core of the Babylonian system is money. And so whoever controls it...
Controls the world.
Okay? Gentlemen, you're with me? I'm talking your language.
Yes,
you're lying?
Yes, yes.
Okay? Yes. Now, there is also another system. I like to call it... I like to defer it from the Babylonian system because at the peak of the Babylonian system, the entire world will be under one global agenda, one global system.
Yes.
That's what the Babylonian system, the end of it, that's what it desires.
Mm-hmm.
But there is what I would call an antichrist system.
Mm-hmm.
That system can be birthed out of the Babylonian system.
Mm-hmm.
But what makes it different is that since it is antichrist, its focus is on anything Christian.
Correct. Yeah? Correct.
You understand?
Yes.
So limiting Christian freedoms, ensuring that the gospel is not preached, and financing perversion and all that. Mm. That's an antichrist system that goes hand in hand with the Babylonian system.
Yes.
These systems are being forwarded by specific individuals who work in the background to ensure that their aim, their goal is reached. Now, finally, I'll say this, then we'll come in. We're not going to read it, but in Luke chapter 4, verse 5 to 8, we're going to read, but let's leave it. There are a group, I don't know if you've heard of a group of people called the Luciferians.
Yeah.
Now, these are billionaires, rich men, influencers on the face of this earth who actually subscribe to this way of thinking. Their major scripture that they hinge on, because they believe that Lucifer is actually was misunderstood in the Bible.
Okay.
That's what Luciferians think. Yeah? Now, in Luke chapter 4, verse 5 to 7, actually, they hinge on this scripture where Lucifer appeared to Jesus and said, all these kingdoms have been given to me, and I can hand them over to you. Now, the reason why they refer to him as their God is because they want these kingdoms. You get
so for them, that's where they stop at that point of the scripture.
Yes. So their belief is that God is not the one who can give you the kingdom. Gentlemen, it's the time. Please, come in. I've laid a very interesting foundation.
Very interesting.
Malik.
Yes.
Tell me about that. Do you think, what do you know about these people who work in the background?
Like you laid in the foundation, they're all about control.
Mm-hmm.
They're all about enslavement. As long as they take away your liberties, whether individually, whether nations, and for instance, entities like World Bank, IMF, all these are all structured for that.
Mm.
I can assure you there's no country that is debt-free on this earth.
None.
None. Because that's the only way they can exercise control. If they give you money, and by the way, this money most of the time comes with, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Strings attached.
They lay it down. You have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. And they qualify you based on your ability to execute what they have told you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing is that when you execute well, they draw a line of credit for you, a bigger line of credit
good
for
boy.
You.
Yeah, exactly. Good boy.
Exactly. So if, for instance, you went in and they told you, okay, let's give you a try run.
Mm.
You do maybe $1 billion as a government.
Mm.
And you execute their things, their plan very well. Like, okay, now, you're a very good steward, you know. Let's draw down a bigger line of credit for you so that you can execute more. So most of the countries have fallen prey to this because they see the money, they have needs, they have all these things to do. And they're like, man, what does it hurt just to do so and so and so?
So you're saying that debt is a tool that the Babylonian system uses?
It is, because, Rabbi, even biblically, because you see, the borrower is a servant to the lender.
Yes.
You know, so it's plain and clear. As long as they can take away your liberties, as long as they can put you on a leash and control you, whenever they want, whenever they call, you answer. You know, like, what, masters, what can I do for you? Like, do for me this, you shall be rewarded.
Mm.
They will give it to you, as long as you adhere to what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So it is indeed a measure of control. It is a measure of enforcing this whole agenda of theirs of taking away liberty. You know, having a free and sovereign state is not one of their agendas. A state that is all in all, it can sort out itself. It's not them. It's not their agenda, because that state can execute anything it wants, and without, it's dangerous to the agenda.
We're actually going to discuss later what the church can do about that.
Yeah.
You know, as I get to you two, I realize something, that over the years, power, historically, was handed over. It was clear who had power in the past.
Yes.
Kings, governors, dictators, and they were quick to show that they had the power historically.
Mm. Yes.
But as we moved into the century that we're in now, the people with power started to go in the shadows and front puppets. Are you with me?
Yeah. Very, very true. Yeah.
Now, the reason for that is because ideologies like democracy started coming up. Eh?
Yes.
Yeah? Mm. Democracy, therefore meaning people have free choice, voting and so on and so forth. And democracy has been fronted a lot in this time and age. Yeah?
Mm.
Yes.
Eh?
Oh, yeah.
Eh?
Oh, yeah.
If a country is not democratic, and you know,
then there's a problem.
There's a problem.
Yeah? Yes.
And you see, I was telling someone recently, and you're going to feed into this. I was telling someone recently that here is why democracy is not biblical.
Mm.
I'm going to give you just examples. When you talk about freedom of speech, which democracy fronts? In the spiritual realm, there is no freedom of speech, because the Bible says you shall give account for every idol.
Why do you speak?
You with me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
There is also no freedom of religion.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
God says, I am the way, the truth.
I am the only God.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
There is also no voting.
Mm.
I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying.
God anointed king.
Yes, God anointed king. Yes.
Gentlemen, yes. Yes. McLean, please.
It's not by human choice.
Yeah.
It's not by human choice. And like what Michael was saying earlier on, the funny thing is, and the interesting thing is this, whoever is in those places of power necessarily does not have to first consult with you, the wananchi, or the person down there. Because they will shroud all of these things, like we said again in the previous podcast, in CCC,
yes.
Civilization, okay, convenience and safety.
Mm. Yes.
And I feel even when you were speaking, all I could think about was how sad it is for a country that has an identity crisis. If a country does not know who they are and what they stand for, and you're looking at someone else to set for you the standards, especially out of the standards of God, then you have a problem.
Yes.
Because when someone comes to you and is convincing you to take this loan, to take this money, and so on, so all they're telling you is, okay, after you've taken this money, so you can also build skyscrapers like ours.
Yes.
After you've taken this money, so you can also set up health systems like ours. Mm. At the end of the day, these health systems that you think you are setting up and whatsoever, it goes back to them. And the cycle does not end.
Yeah, I want to piggyback on something Rabbi mentioned. Started with a scripture saying that these guys are just interested. They believe the Luciferians that Satan can give them the kingdoms.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and you're going to see how we relate this to the democracy and how these guys are smart. Already, that's a foundation built on an absolute lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah? Mm-hmm.
From a spiritual perspective.
From a spiritual perspective.
Yes.
Now, let's come down to earth.
Mm.
We have democracy. Power for the people, by the people, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
We've heard all that.
Yes.
But it is the... If you really dig deep, you'll discover democracy... And I know we might sound controversial here, which is okay, but it is one of the biggest lies that has ever been sold to the world. Why? They are trying to clone every nation because they have a face. What you've been saying is like a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Build skyscrapers like ours, clone.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Dubai, build skyscrapers, clone. Go to India, build skyscrapers. Because if you notice, they capture us with this whole democratic perspective that you begin to see nations are trying to be the same way and stay the same way, and this kind of now gives birth into things like conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not ignorant. They are aware that it will give birth to conflict. Because in giving back to conflict, you also now say, exactly, they know how to step in. It's money. Those who have, they control arms. Those who have the move arms. And the current and best example you can use is the war that has just ended in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
You spent 20 years, spent over $1 trillion, and when you were leaving, you just left an ammunition worth billions of dollars. But everyone was focused on the loss of the billions of dollars of quote-unquote arms, but they forgot to see how much money was actually made in the space of 20 years by the people that purported that they were actually helping. Democracy.
And you see, the funny thing with that democracy is, the trick is this.
Mm.
When you go with the definition of democracy, for the people, by the people, okay, they can always stand back and say, but you're the ones who voted these guys.
Exactly.
You're the ones who put them in office.
Exactly.
You understand? So, okay, if you're not happy with this one, it's okay. Vote him out of power. Mm. Bring in other people. Your choices. But like you were saying, at the end of the day, there are people in the background who remain as is, status quo.
You know, going back to this old democracy, it is sold as something that will give people. But instead it enslaves them. You know why? You see, they come with this whole thing that, you know, they can do much better when they're left to exercise their free will to actually appoint.
Mm-hmm.
But in essence, like I told you, they're not willing to aid sovereign nations.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want sovereign nations.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see, if you have a kinghood, then you're a sovereign nation. They don't want that.
Mm. So they purport the lie that there's a sovereign nation.
Exactly.
Mm.
So now they sell you something and they say, no, you can exercise your free will to vote, but they take away that identity of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Because now they'll impose some things like, no, democracy should be run like this, we should run it like this. If you're not running it like this, you're backward. In this sense, that's what they say, actually.
Yeah,
you're backward, you're not. Those are the things they use to categorize and try to demean nations which are sovereign.
Mm.
So now they take away this thing from them. Now, the ability for their leaders to make their own decisions concerning their people is taken away.
Mm.
Because now the leaders have to second guess themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's someone above them watching them.
Mm-hmm.
am I executing this correctly? If I execute this, guys are going to come and hammer me. So he's always second guessing themselves, and he always looks back to the guys who are selling Democrats. So this guy who was in charge of a sovereign nation is now second guessing himself. All of a sudden his identity is gone because he has people over him watching him. You know, so even the things he would outrightly perform as a nation, you know, go out, he can't do them anymore. He's tied now because he has been sold a system which actually takes away your power.
We're going to talk about these guys in the background with their stuff, but I want to ask you, do you think they orchestrate chaos in these nations?
They do.
Oh yeah,
they do.
BLM.
They do.
I think we've all heard of BLM.
BLM.
I don't know how any sane human being doesn't see that. And you know this,
for someone who doesn't know what BLM is,
Black Lives Matter. You know, jeez, these guys really know how to rally support. If you compare, let me use this, because these are the best examples that everybody knows.
Yes.
If you compare the insurrection, the so-called quote-unquote insurrection of January 6th in the US, and what the protesters did, and you compare it to what the BLM protesters were doing, burning down cities, burning down police cars, who in your right mind was the terrorist?
So,
but they put us in a place where we can't even question what we see.
And the reason is because they control the media.
Thank
they control
you. The media
narrative.
Is telling you, CNN, BBC, Sky News, they are telling you, Rabbi and crew, look here, these guys are terrorists. They went to our capital. Can you imagine that? While these three cities are being burned.
Exactly.
Over a guy, may his soul rest in peace, who has actually had a very poor record. You know, some things need to be said the way they're supposed to be said. He has a very poor track record. He's been a criminal before. Yes, he does not deserve to die. But he cannot be raised as a hero. And that's the contradiction. I feel like it's a... let me just use this. It's like the contradiction of Satan. Like, one great man said that guy is actually really stupid, but smart in the same. So it's like it's a paradoxical thing.
Let me front a scripture. You're going to read it for me. Ezekiel chapter 11 from verse 1. I want you to listen to it. Because I want to show you the spiritual perspective of what we call a deep state or the shadow government. Go ahead.
Ezekiel 11, 1, 2, 3. Moreover, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the east gate of the Lord's house, which looketh eastward, and behold, at the door of the gate, 25 men, among whom I saw Jazaniah, the son of Azur, and Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, the princes of the people. Then said he unto me, Son of man, these are the men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in this city, which say, It is not near. Let us build houses. This city is the cauldron, and we be the flesh.
Okay. So if you read on, now this is what happens. Ezekiel is taken up in the spirit, and God shows him 25 men that are the cause of the chaos in the city, but people did not know. Actually, later from verse 4 onwards, God, if you could read verse 4.
Yeah. Therefore prophesy against them. Prophesy, O son of man. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me, and I said, and said unto me, Speak. Thus saith the Lord, thus have ye said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. Ye have multiplied your slain in this city, and ye have filled the streets thereof with the slain.
Okay, you see, now these guys, now later, Ezekiel prophesies to these 25 men, and they drop dead. I didn't want to get there, but he says, and so I prophesied as the Lord told me, and they died. Now, we'll touch one day on there's a prophecy that gives life and there's a prophecy. Anyway, so in this case, there were guys working in the background who were the cause of the chaos in the city. They were spiritual guys, meanwhile.
Yes.
Now, if you look through scripture, the stories that we know, Moses goes to Pharaoh. Moses is facing Pharaoh. There's a face-off between Moses and Pharaoh's magicians. Now, in those days, when a person was in a place of authority, he called upon his sorcerers to give him advice. Now, I want you guys to tell me, just logically, if I'm the king and I go to someone for advice and I take their advice, who's ruling?
the one giving advice.
Yes.
You with me?
Exactly.
Okay. So that means if we use the same principle, That means in Egypt, the magicians were in charge. Yes.
Correct.
That means in the time of Daniel, the magicians were in charge.
Correct.
The time of Joseph, the magicians
were in charge.
What makes you think that's not happening now? Now, the question is to you.
You're now touching the thing of the knee, because really, this one hits
hard. And this goes back to who your so-called leaders really are.
Exactly.
Not what they front themselves to.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You understand? It's another thing to wear the rosary. It's another thing to say every Sunday I'm going to church.
Mm.
But are you really a believer? And who do you really believe in?
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, that's going to influence your decisions, your thought, and how you forge the future for your own people. And that's what Rabbi is saying.
Interestingly, the world, okay, not the world, but we all hear this statement that you're a product of what you feed yourself with.
Very true.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you feed yourself with media, you're most likely to believe what they're saying, and that's how they break barriers and walls. So, Rab, I know Rabbi has touched it, and I know that it's actually way deeper than it's supposed to. Now, I'm actually just painting the picture of today and the so-called restrictions we currently have.
Mm-hmm.
And you ask yourself one question: who is advising?
Ooh.
Who? And whose voices are we listening to?
Yeah.
Who is actually ruling Uganda? Whereas there is a face, quote-unquote, rule UG, the people that are actually ruling are those whose voices are being adhered to. And the spirit that comes with them.
Exactly.
When you're speaking, I just remembered something I actually saw in the papers recently. I think it was the Daily Monitor. I don't know if you guys saw that headline. Where the US and the UK are asking for accountability for the funds that they gave the government.
Uh-huh.
Which is what you were saying earlier.
Exactly.
So now at the end of the day, who is ruling?
Who's
really in charge?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who's ruling?
There is no sovereignty.
Malik, who's in charge? Who's in charge?
There's no drone, Malik.
No, the thing is that the person in charge now, like from Rabbi's perspective, the foundation he laid, the system is about money, control. Now, the one in charge is the one who's distributing the money.
And just to explain that, and then you come in. Eh? Money is not paper.
Yeah, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
According to a biblical perspective, money is a spirit. There's a spirit behind it. Eh?
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Exactly. Now, who has the money, you know, and what his money is influencing the rest to do? So, now, that's the person who's actually pushing everyone who's enforcing, you know, who's enforcing what they should do.
Mm-hmm.
Like Julius was saying, these restrictions here, who's ruling who? Now, the person and the Pope calling for accountability, who has given them that money to give? And what must they execute? Now, coming back to Rabbi's questions, who has the money?
No, but I want to. I'm going to hit you because this is your field, as a financial investor.
Yes.
And you've traveled. So you have some exposure.
Yes.
I checked recently the UN website and I went to World Bank. Apparently, the amount of money in the world economy is about 88 trillion. But there's more than that, isn't it?
Of course. Of course.
They say the richest man in the world is who?
Now it's Elon Musk.
Now it's Elon Musk.
It's back on.
How many billions are those?
230 right now.
Huh? 230 billion.
Wow, huh?
He overtook. It's Amazon.
Jeff?
Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. 230 billion. Is he really the richest man in the world?
I've always told you that this is not true.
Yeah.
It's not true because you see, like, the world is being run on deception. Deception. You see, today, if I can show you a thing, an image of wealth, trust me, everyone around the world is pursuing those guys. But the ones they don't touch, they don't want to expose themselves. Like you see, if we stay incognito and we don't reveal what we have, because if they reveal what they have, it's dangerous. For them, they deem it very dangerous.
True.
Because now they'll be vulnerable to be touched.
People know who to attack now.
People will know, like, this is the guy.
Yeah.
Let's go for what he has.
Yeah.
But if they remain in the shadows, the background, and they front whoever they want, like, you know what, be our cover story. Go be the rich guy. Let everyone strive at becoming you, so that we are not touched. So that's what's happening all over the globe. People think there's no money. There's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Untouched money.
Where is it? Tell us.
You see, okay, from my background of investment, like even said, money is not this paper.
It's not paper.
Mm.
People have created a system they call money. So in this system, you can cut yourself, if you're in control of the system, you can cut yourself any amount of money you want.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
You can, because you control the system,
yes.
You deem what is money.
Exactly. Just deem, the pot, look the pot.
Yes, you deem how much it should be in the system.
Mm.
You have, remember, you have controlled the system, you've built it up, so you decide how much is money, how much you can have, how much should be in the system. You are in control of it. So at one point you can say, okay, we need a certain agenda. Okay, run. We need about maybe 90 trillion. You cut yourself a paper of 90 trillion to run something. But now, no one is...
So you haven't actually, you've printed the money, what you've just used the system.
You just use the
created
system.
Created a figure.
You cut a paper.
Yes.
People have signed on it, the ones who are... And now the system, the paper is running in circulation, you know?
Okay.
And running that, whoever sees the paper, like, hey, okay, let's cash it out.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But let me ask, because...
So...
Billionaires spend money on... millionaires and billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
When someone is rich in dollars, has millions, they'll buy a nice house, nice Ferrari.
Mm.
When they get richer into the billion scale, it's not so much the houses.
Mm-mm.
They buy intangible things, influence, impact.
Exactly.
And I'm interested to know what trillionaires would... This guy is hiding in the background.
Now, you see all these billionaires. Now these trillionaires have stake in whatever they do.
Mm-hmm.
Stake, like, imagine in your portfolio you have like 20 billionaires in your portfolio, and now these guys are doing crazy things. On top of that, you've lent money to every nation and taken all their sovereign guarantees.
So they're individuals who lend to nations.
Yes. Now
actually, it's been scripture about us.
Yes. Let me paint for you. Let me just jump in here to prove to you what Malik is trying to put out. I just want to put a question out here, and I think you know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think gives, let's say, Tesla or Elon Musk the biggest contract?
This is what I was about. This is what I wanted to talk about.
You understand?
This is also what I wanted to
give. Who gives Jeff Bezos the biggest contracts?
And what makes them the right candidate to receive that
money? Exactly. That in turn makes them the biggest.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Think.
Yep.
When you get the answer to that, which is very clear, you
true.
Will know
true.
That it's the system will always start from where you started.
Mm.
The governments,
mm.
the faces,
mm-hmm.
and then the individuals.
Yeah.
So these billionaires in the markets are not quote-unquote billionaires. They are billionaires because that's what they've been presented to us. But the real actual people are the guys who have the power and the influence. And those are the guys you never see. Those are the guys who have appointees in influential departments, maybe like the CIA or MI6. Because you ask yourself this question, like this whole space race going on. Yeah, one person is saying Jeff Bezos, another one is said Virgin Atlantic.
Mm.
But ask yourself, who's Tesla, even SpaceX?
Yeah.
SpaceX.
Who is giving them the contract?
And why is it
and
them?
Why
and why them?
You guys, and why now?
You guys
and
ever now? Read? You guys ever read the book Economic Hitman?
I have it.
You need to, because these guys, when they are determined, they will go to the deepest levels to do whatever they need to do. If they need to get your economist, who you so trust,
mm-hmm.
to fabricate for you, okay, statistics
everything.
And projections and whatever, they will build the
everything.
Files to build their case. That when this guy comes before the committee, that's awarding the contract, you will give him a contract. But all of that is fake, like he said. But how do you know? Because these are the guys who you're looking up to and saying, this is a so-called professor, this is
like
a so-called
him.
Whatsoever. They are, and they know this. They know that once we say this, who are you to come and question? You've seen this recently when the COVID thing started. It was Madagascar, correct? That made their own vaccine, their own cure.
Yes. Yeah.
Why was it bounced by the rest of the world? World Health Organization said, no, that cannot pass.
COVID.
Unless it's another organization. But I remember WHO, but they say that cannot pass. Why? Because it did not meet their so-called standards. Now, at some point, they said, oh, the vaccines that they're bringing in are the much better ones. Then at some point, the countries are coming and saying, no, these vaccines are actually not good. But you know what? We love Africa so much. We'll give it to the Africans.
It's all about chaos and money. Like what Rabbi was pointing out. Like, they instigate all these things, chaos. Because you see, if there's a mass murder and you're making money, you're profiting from a mass murder. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So for you, you're in it to profit as well.
Mm-hmm.
But also, back to what you guys are saying, I think this whole thing has a history of what we call in the Bible golden calf.
Mm.
So they paint this image that the rest of the world should worship and look at and behold. Then, in the background, the real thing,
mm-hmm.
it's not shown. They have painted something that the rest of the world should see.
Mm-hmm.
But then in the background, there's something much, much, much higher that is running.
Mm.
But all, because... Well, in our humanistic way, we like to look at things as tangible, chiche chidiwo, as in what's available, what can I see?
Uh-huh.
Now, if everyone's eyes are on some guy is saying, okay, for instance, we are there are 20 billionaires. These are the ones recorded, you know?
Mm.
I mean, to pass as the truth. But there's much, much, much more that they're not showing to the people. And people are believing, I don't know, they're painting all their aspirations and all those things around these guys.
Okay, I want to set something straight. So we started
yes.
by saying that they're spiritual governments.
Yes.
And to influence their agenda on earth through the natural governments, they use individuals.
Yes.
I'd like to add that not only do they use individuals, they also form organizations exactly. to implement implement their agendas. Now, I want to show you something because... And I said the end of the Babylonian system is to create a one-world global government. Now, why?
Mm.
The reason is because nationalism is not a good thing for these guys.
Mm-hmm.
There's no nation on the face of this earth that is more patriotic than Americans.
Yes. Exactly.
Huh? And that's why I believe it's not there in the end times. Because it was a target, it had to come down.
Mm.
Because for a global system to succeed, the most patriotic nation has to cease.
Yes.
You understand?
Exactly.
Yeah? Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah,
exactly.
Now, Trump was a nationalist.
Exactly. Mm.
Huh?
Yeah.
Putin is a nationalist.
Yes.
He wants to make Russia great again. Okay? Mm. Now, I want to show you how it started historically. Then you guys will come in. Yeah? Because I like where the discussion is going. World War One. Chaos breaks out. About 40 million people are killed. The leaders of the world come together and say this should never happen again. And they form the League of Nations. Okay? A few years later, World War Two breaks out.
Mm.
Mm?
Mm.
About 80 million people or more are killed.
Mm.
They say, no. This should never happen again. And they form... the United Nations. Now, I want to show you some organizations that were framed. Now, all this is leading towards what is the final third war, where finally a man will come up and say, you know what? No more. Hmm?
Mm.
Okay? Then the Bible says they shall say peace and safety, then destructions come upon them.
Yeah.
But I'm going to read for you a number of organizations that were formed along the way with the aim of fostering this globalization.
Mm.
And many of them are very common. Eh?
Mm.
Is, as you know, you've had the term New World Order.
Mm-hmm.
Eh?
Mm.
But that's a certain set of people.
Mm.
There is Illuminati. Now, I was telling someone the other day that please understand, Illuminati means people whose knowledge... they have higher knowledge.
So-called enlightened.
They're enlightened. Now, I was telling someone that if you know the people that... if you had any clue of the type of people that belong to this Illuminati, you would not think that your musician down the road in Africa is Illuminati.
You wouldn't think.
You see how people... you are Illuminati. You know how people say... people, what are you talking about?
Because they look at the money, not it's here.
No, it's money and influence.
Mm.
Huh? If all you're influencing is what you're eating in your house at home, and these few guys down there shouting when you get out, Illuminati namna gani? So there's Illuminati. That's an organization. There's the Trilateral Commission. We'll get into that. There is the Council on Foreign Relations, which is interesting, was the one that set up the UN Charter. So the UN Charter was founded by these guys called the Council of Foreign Relations, who are more powerful than most people give them credit for. There's the Bilderberg Group.
Yes.
There's the Bohemian Grove.
Yes.
And the Committee of 300. Now, these organizations, and you can just go Google them. On the outskirts, apart from maybe Illuminati, because there's a lot of a lot of intrigue on Illuminati. But the devil is organized, isn't he?
You know, it's a painful admission, if I should say. Because the stretch comes from, they'll bring the government angle, money angle, social angle, entertainment. So it's an organized web. That is so intertwined. Like, they actually make it difficult for you to hit them at the same time. Because if, quote unquote, you've got some powerful Christians coming up and consuming media, yeah? You might consume media, so how will they squeeze you? Economics. Exactly. Begin to take money out.
Yeah.
So, I to answer your question, do I think that devil is organized? Yes. Unfortunately,
Does the church have a chance?
Of course, the church has. The church will always have a chance. Albeit, I have to say, there are times when you sit back, and I have to admit it, even this on a personal basis, and you're like, "When?" You seem to always be lagging behind. and it's an excruciating pain. You understand? And he plays with the church in very simple matters, health, small bills, debt. That's why. Anyway, maybe we'll touch this later. That's why I get irritated, for example, if I hear ministers or people who, quote-unquote, claim are subscribed to the kingdom of God trying to find a way to harness the Babylonian system as their mode of success. In the guise that you can just sprinkle it with the love of Jesus and somehow things will be okay.
But you see, the interesting thing is, even when Rabbi says, does the church stand a chance? The interesting thing is, in all these organizations he has read, and even much more, there are Christians in there.
There
are Christians in there. And there's an element of either ignorance on their side, of knowing what the agendas of these organizations are, or it could also be, and strongly, the ignorance of knowing the power that they have. Because it's possible for you to be in a place where everything else is not in line with what you believe, but because you're so confident in the power that you have in you and the God that you serve, you can stand your ground and say no. This is what the late Magufuli did. He stood his ground and said, no, I will go this direction. Now just imagine if we had a number of Christians wake up with that mindset and know that this God who we serve, who we say is a powerful God and this and that. Yeah. You know, Christians, sometimes we're interesting people. We say it, but we don't really believe it. When the opportunity presents itself for us to step up to the challenge, all of a sudden, you know, we need to pay bills. And
yes. And we've separated ourselves from that.
I think a couple of weeks ago, there was a trend of people standing up against this agenda. First of all, the vaccination and all those things that's being propagated. So, back to what Rabbi was saying, that if you look at a local musician here, because he has no influence, so it's not their worry really. But the other day, Nicki Minaj, she has a following of about 300 million people. When she woke up and said, "I'm not taking the vaccine,"
they called that the White House.
White House.
Ah.
White House. Yes.
Immediately.
Immediately.
Why?
Why? You see, and this goes to tell you that we Christians, we need to leave this whole mindset of we can't be famous, we can't do this. We need to be in places actually of influence. Because you see, just that woman, being called by White House, where decisions that matter are decided because she said something. That shows you the level of influence these guys are looking, they're poaching, they're like, okay, who's saying what? Who's saying what? Who's saying what? If today you rose up, if every child of God rose up today and assumed their identity and began, you know, saying no, we're pushing back this thing, we're pushing back this thing. And but there are so many who are famous, by the way, very, very many who are famous, but because they're silent, like what you're saying, they're silent, you would see the ripple effect that will go around the globe. Because children of God, for some reason, I've said, you know, it's take off this cloak of fear and we fight for what we truly believe.
You know, there's someone who came to me actually this morning and was asking me about this thing of God nations and sheep nations. Because in the end times, what's going to happen is that there's going to be a clear division. Mm. People don't seem to understand that biblically, it's not just individuals that are going to be judged. God will judge nations.
Mm.
And that's an interesting aspect, like the nations themselves to be judged.
Corporate.
Yeah. Now, I need you to understand something, that because this person was asking me now, what is a goat nation and what is a sheep nation? The idea is that a sheep nation is a nation that is aligned to God, and a goat nation would have been in the end times a nation that has decided to side with the Antichrist. And I was explaining to this person that do not make the mistake of thinking that a nation becomes a sheep nation because the number of people in the country are Christian.
Mm.
Actually, let me put it this way.
Mm.
A nation is not Christian because most of the people in the country are Christian.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how it is.
Mm-hmm.
The anointing flows from the head downwards. And that's why the leaders that you vote in, the agenda that the nation follows determines whether it's a sheep nation. It has nothing. I'm telling you, and you'll be shocked that there will be nations that do not necessarily have Christians,
Christians, yes,
but are aligning with the agenda
exactly
of God.
Yeah.
wow. You understanding, yeah?
Yes. And Rabbi,
and we've seen this with Putin.
No. let me exactly. But to show you the truth of what Rabbi is saying, I don't know if you guys noticed the friction between the church during the U.S. elections between Trump.
Yeah. Yes.
Of course
it really paints this clear picture cut. So clear.
Mm-hmm.
And what were the biggest number of Christians gunning for? Oh, Biden is a Catholic. He goes to church. Can you imagine? We are here trying to fight an entire agenda.
Yes.
You're worried about someone's morals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? I actually lost so many friends. In January.
Yeah.
Thank you, but you did well.
Hey, yeah. I lost so many friends. People got angry at me.
Mm.
And you see, the truth is,
Yes.
In this time and age, the most important gift, actually I think there are two gifts. One, the gift of prophecy. And secondly, the gift of discerning of spirits.
Very true.
Mm. I'm telling you... I was so disappointed. I got a message from someone who I respected, a Christian.
Yes.
A person sent me a message on one of these social medias. And he was saying, I don't see why people are for this Trump guy. He's rude. He's what? And you see, the thing is, I look through and I thought to myself, if you went through scripture, there are a lot of people that would offend you, but God would say, this is my man.
Yes, sir.
And it's favoring the righteous cause.
Yes, yes.
I think that's what believers need to hear today.
Mm-hmm.
Favor the righteous cause. Rahab did it. She's in the genealogy.
Yes.
Samson, David. I mean, the list goes on and on.
But
so
you see, Julius,
I don't know whether it's a fear or bull. Yeah. I don't know.
You know, people and their hearts are really closed. Mm. You know, they claim to believe. I keep on telling people, if Jesus was to come today, that Jesus they met, they won't reject him. They're like, no. They would reject him. Because this is Jesus who calls men tomb what? Tombstones. Children of the devil.
Yes.
He calls this woman who comes like, I don't give food to the dog.
The dog,
yeah. He's the one who goes and beats people. So they would still reject him, whether they've been presented with the truth. They're just, their hearts are just closed and darkened. They cannot see. So there's that facet.
And you see, the thing is that, because someone might be thinking, it's about fronting an agenda. Now someone will ask, so then what's the agenda of the church? What's the agenda? It's summarized for me in this end times in Isaiah 2:2. The kingdoms of this earth have become the kingdoms of our God and his Christ. So you, so that is actually the summary. That is where we're headed, so that these kingdoms can be handed over to God. Now, because I'm heading to a question I want to ask us, since we're people in money. Christ is not coming for a broke church, because and we're having this discussion the other day. The reason is because never in history has God ever left something defeated. So there's no way there's going to be a rapture of a defeated
church.
Come on. It can't happen. So the glory has to be there. The wealth will have to be there in a magnitude. Now the key then, that's why there are parables. If you read in scripture the parables, there's a parable in Luke chapter 19 where he says that there's a man who went away to a faraway land. He said to get for himself a kingdom. And he left behind servants. And he gave each of them specific talents. You understand?
Yes.
And then he says, the Bible says when he came back, he wanted to see what it had invested and had got out of it. And he punished the one who remained with.
Who kept it.
So you understand? Now, you can use that as the talent as a gift, or you can even use it in the aspect of money. God expects us to invest in something and reap and multiply. Now, as children of God, there are many sectors on the face of this earth right now. Where should we invest?
Interesting. Very interesting.
If you ask me, I don't think we should leave any sector open. Because like he said, it's a whole, it's a web.
It's a web. It's a web.
You understand? If you only focus, say, on the health, what happens when it comes to security? Because I can tell you security, we can parade it as being more important than health. You understand? If we invest in security, someone else can come in and say, man, education is equally important, people. We cannot leave it out. Otherwise, we'll have duanzis. Okay? So, I don't think there's any... there's any sector we should leave out. But even when we're talking about the church, Christians and believers should stop being petty.
Exactly.
That pettiness is what keeps us lagging behind. Like he said, the guys on the other side understand the agenda. They're not interested in all of your... You will say whatever you say. They will never come back and make noise with you. They keep moving. And we've learned this from our father as well. Say whatever you're saying. We know the agenda. You're not the one who put me here. I know what I'm doing. And we move on. But this whole bit of you want to please people. And then the question, who are you even pleasing in the first place? So for me, I don't think there's any sector we should leave out. But again, for the Christians to rise to those places, like I've said, they need to stop being petty, and we need to be more professional than we are now.
Afimani, Malik, just a second. Maybe, do you reckon maybe Rabbi is trying to find, in terms of sectors, there are some that have a certain level of influence?
Yes.
That, like, if you're going to deal, maybe you're cutting a monster's, you're trying to cripple a monster, maybe you first cut off
the head.
The head.
Let's start with politics. Let's start with politics.
Then the other thing, you see, like money, influence. Mm. And I believe God is interested in every sector.
Yes.
Mm. Look, for example, things to do like, you know, entertainment has shaped the way culture,
the psyche
like
of people.
Globally, the
True.
Psyche.
Like the True. Way you're dressed.
Yeah. This was like on MTV.
Okay.
But seriously, it has shaped like, the culture. So, I was telling someone the other day, he's into movies. I'm like, have you ever thought that, I asked the Lord, I'm like, Lord, show me your agenda. He shows you a script. You go and hire like the Dwayne Rock Johnson. He's a highly paid guy.
Exactly.
And he's influential.
Exactly.
Like, you come and run this thing, me, I'll pay you.
Uh-huh.
You do this script.
Hey.
It's my agenda. I don't have to tell him about, like how those guys are doing.
Exactly.
They come, they hire guys, you act this.
Uh-huh.
We don't have to tell you why we're doing it. You go and do the thing, you get paid. Now, if that guy has a billion subscribers, my message is being reached, it's being passed to a billion people. Powerful. I'm not waiting for the Christian here to rise up who's not sure of his confidence. Then, no, let's use this, let's employ, let's own these people. Let's own them.
Yes.
Own Jay-Z, own all those guys, because it's about influence.
Yes.
Where's the money? We have, when we get the money, can we employ all those guys to run our agendas? Because they're here to serve us, not the other way around.
I was looking at I want to say something. Mm. You know, we talked about, and I keep on going back to this, that we have, there's a spiritual government. That government has hierarchies on both sides.
Mm.
That goes down to influence the natural government. There are people on earth carrying out the agenda of the devil, but they honestly think what they're doing is right.
Mm.
And I'm telling you this, they actually want to make the world a better place. You understand?
Mm.
And so they're pursuing it out of, in their heads, pure motive, but they're deceived.
Yeah.
There are also Christians who fall in that
category.
In that category. Now, when we're talking about sectors, and we had this discussion earlier with Julius, this is where it's going to be very important. And at some point, we're going to discuss in another podcast what will happen to the guys that are left behind. Huh? And why what we're doing now is important for them.
Mm.
Yeah.
Very important.
Sure.
Because there will be need for cities of refuge.
Mm.
I'm trying to show you the investment.
Mm.
mm-hmm.
There will be, I'm telling you,
there
will be need for cities of refuge. There will be need for a separate financial system.
Yes.
Even just thinking about it, I'm wondering, how is this going to
like, yeah. How does it unfold?
How is this going to unfold?
Even markets. Even markets.
Yeah.
Like, you see, like, how Amazon is and all that. Because you see, if they tell you you can't buy or sell
on their platform,
so you need to go and code separate
things,
separate market,
yeah,
where you can do this thing,
yeah,
without these guys, you know, eating it, you know, even finance, even transport. I think sometimes
food is food. Yeah, I was thinking about this something. Agriculture is key.
Yes,
you will not be able to buy or sell.
Exactly.
And if you don't know food, you will starve.
Exactly.
And you know, because in the last days, scripture does say that there'll be famine, there'll be a shortage of food. Actually, it will be one of the reasons why, one of the things that they will front at that time, I don't want to go into it in detail, but what the Antichrist will front is a reduction in population. I'm going to show it to you. And so when the rapture occurs, you'll be shocked when there is rejoicing. Good. The good thing is that some of us, a certain section of the world will rejoice.
Mm.
You understand? And they'll think maybe the planet is restoring itself, putting itself in order and all that, because there'll be a food shortage. And anyone who does not comply with the system of getting this mark, you know, riots, when people come out and say, you know what, let's get rid of these people. Food is short anyway.
Yes.
You understand? Guys, we will be watching from the Kameme of Heaven with popcorn. But you get it. So I feel like these areas are very important.
Yes.
And it's the reason why, you know, they call Africa a dark continent in the sense that, and so many times on news radios, like when they're mentioning places of influence, they'll talk about Asia, Europe, and America, and stop there. It's like there's this continent that has just been forgotten on the side. But it's also its advantage. Because the lack of that development makes it lag behind in the influence the Antichrist will have.
Correct.
On it.
Yeah.
Correct.
You
wow.
Get
yes.
Correct.
Yeah. Yes. Less exposure to their knowledge.
Yes. Fantastic.
And that's why many of the men and women of God will come from this continent.
If only they knew.
No. Wow. Now, you know, sometimes when a person like Rabbi is speaking, I sometimes travel 10 years back. I was doing my master's degree. And these big companies they scout for individuals. And, you know, the jobs looked nice and paying. To serve a startup salary of 50,000 euros a year, when you're just 23, it's something to go home, talk about. But there was always this thing in me, because I think for 2 years, I was actually icked, and people will be shocked to hear that I was also irritated by God, because I actually asked these two questions. Is there a problem with black people, and is there a problem with the African continent? But now, 10 years down the road, being where I am today and being under who we are today, I realize the reason I had a burning desire never to stay in the foreign country. It has taken longer, I have to admit. I thought things would have panned out a bit better. But it now makes more sense and gives you that kind of impetus to try and drive, to try and do something without a certain fear and with boldness. Because there are certain things you won't freely say that side. You understand? There are things you just won't freely say. But now that you have, you can say them here, and one of your best guards and protection instruments will be like, well, this is what I know. You cannot fight, you cannot tell me to speak about something I actually am ignorant about. And that creates a very profound case for many business people now to start thinking, okay, what can we do just for the African continent, which is about 1.3 billion people? And this is where we come in now and ask ourselves, where to invest? If you say food, are you buying land? Or are you buying a land in Kuala? You know, we also, I've realized sometimes we don't have that, we have that short-sightedness.
People don't seem to realize. You know how hard it is to buy land abroad?
Abroad. Very, very hard. And
you pay for it taxes.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm telling you, here as individuals, even with the with amount of money you have, you can live today. And with some specific amount of money, be able to buy some land here.
Correct. Yeah?
Exactly.
Where we are.
Exactly.
But abroad, getting
it,
land.
It is harder. It is harder.
But you see, back to what Rabbi was saying, what do we invest in?
Yes.
And what sectors? Because it's going to play a very, very key role. He was talking of shelters.
Yes.
No? Bankers. When you see in the end time where people are running into mountains, you know, they're going to be seeking refuge.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at, because I kid you not, the airline industry is going to be crippled a lot by this system.
Yes. True.
You know?
Yeah.
I think I had a discussion with Rabbi some time back ago, and I was telling him about doing a railroad that connects the whole of Africa.
Yes.
Because that's how some you can evade some of these things.
Yes.
You know?
Then
when you go to money, when you go to money, you see, right now there's been a system that is trying to detach people from the feeling of money, cash, and all those things. Convenience.
Yes.
You know? Whereby they put everything on wire, transfer, what, now the coin, everything. You have virtual money, literally.
Exactly.
So you don't own the money. So the feeling is detached.
Yes.
Now, as a generation that who know the truth, we need to go back to this feeling of money. We need to feel money again.
It, the physical cash.
We need to buy gold. We need to buy these things. Because you see, gold is going to remain as a standard. It's a standard. That's why they call it a standard, the gold standard. Whether Bitcoin, whether what, gold will remain. So we need to wisen up. When you see, and you see right now, there's a shift right now in the finance industry. You know? Ever since the pandemic, nations are running to buy reserves, gold reserves. In fact, they have even brought some new laws trying to restrict how much you can buy, you know, how much you can sell. You cannot now buy gold, like for instance in Europe, and say it's from Uganda or something. So they're trying to already put measures to prevent this thing, but they know that the gold standard has to stay, and now they want to lock everyone into that system where everything is virtual. They have virtual money. They can easily swipe it away. In a day, you're a millionaire today. Tomorrow you have nothing. If you commit a capital offense or anything, someone can say we have frozen everything. And you're back on.
You're saying cryptocurrency is not a good thing.
Well, I'm not saying it's okay. Right now, it's aligned to that system whereby you can easily.
And you know, we just make it clear.
Yes,
just
make it clear.
Yes. You know, I'm not sugarcoating it. It's aligned to that system that's prepared for the Antichrist.
Exactly.
You know, because today, if someone can switch you off, case in point, guys, if you have just maybe 10 million shillings. And you also have 10 million on mobile money. Not even bank. Just mobile on mobile money. Just mobile money. You have 10 million. The attachment you have on the cash and the one on the phone is different.
Exactly.
I can sit down here and spend it in 20 minutes.
Yes.
You spend 10 million. here and say, I'm going to eat, I'm going to do what in 20 minutes. Exactly. You see the feeling, and the feeling it gives you
exactly.
as a person.
Mm.
So the feeling of wealth, if it's detached from people, you know, money gives people some power, identity, and all those things.
Yes, yes.
So now they're trying to cripple people and cut them from this source of what gives them the confidence. So now this whole thing that's going around, you'll own nothing and be happy. That thing, you know? So people
they're
have...
painting a new field.
Exactly. So there are people I know who have never seen money.
Yes.
You go in nations, they have never seen money. That's like, no, may I have a card?
Can you?
They have never seen money, how a paper looks like. And these things are being sold out. They come in very in a very subtle way. You will never know that this is the thing that's actually going to steal away from me.
Exactly.
But it will steal, and this is the agenda by that. So Christians in this time, man.
But we have a very short time. Yes, Martin.
Yes.
Let me say this, and this mostly I'll speak to my fellow Africans, because for a long time the narrative has been that we are backward. Okay, and left behind and whatsoever. And here we've established that there's a reason for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason why Africa moved at the pace at which it moved. That today we can still survive with certain ancient systems that are non-existent the other side.
Yeah, that's exactly.
You guys still know that there are certain places in Africa where butter trade is still the means of transaction.
Exactly.
Yes.
Now, if you're in a place or if you're in a time where you cannot use money, what else can you use to buy? Mm-hmm. You need to have assets. When you're in a place where they're telling you you can't access the health system, what do you go back to? Your hubs. This is where Africa started. You understand? This medicine that's coming from the pharmaceutical companies starts from its raw state.
Hubs.
You understand? And we know that even the people, the older generation, our grandparents, if you check their statistics in terms of their longevity of life, they live much longer than the current generation now. Why? Because of their way of life then. So I think even moving forward, as Rabbi painted the picture of what sectors to invest in and how better prepared can we be for what is yet to come, I think the emphasis should go down to assets as well. Because if you're leaving it in what I call air, because that is what the internet is, you're not really owning anything.
Yes. Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
So if you are staying in a shelter or in a community that you're saying, okay, we've cut ourselves out because we don't have the market and we can't do, how are you guys going to transact?
Exactly.
How are you going to survive?
Wow. And I think to add on the issue of sectors, or like I hope we didn't miss the aspect of mentioning that famine would be one of the biggest deterrents that will also be used to control people.
Mm-hmm.
If you pay close attention, and I don't know how people have missed this in the media, but it's also been there. People like Bill Gates have been buying a lot of farmland.
Farms and all those things.
See? No. And you know, these guys are stealing some of our homework.
Mm-hmm. On top of introducing the modified GMOs?
GMOs.
To kill the natural.
And by the way,
yes.
Kid, you know, let me tell you something. You see, they have a system whereby, you see, back in the day, after harvest, you had to reserve some seed for replanting.
10%.
Yes.
With this system, all those rights are owned on the produce.
Exactly.
You cannot replant. Exactly. And they've made it in such a way that you cannot replant it actually.
Exactly.
So every season you buy
fresh
from their things.
Exactly.
From what they've crafted in the lab.
So they are keeping the supply to themselves.
They want to control the whole demand, supply, everything. So now, how does a person here imagine? What does he do? Does he play into the GMO thing?
No.
In the food?
That's very interesting. And that's what I was about to get to. We have, first of all, people need to know that if you got the entire world population, I think it can fit in Texas. So forget this thing that there isn't enough land. There is actually enough land. Yeah? You just need to know how to use it. I have a principle that I live by, that earth is a piece of real estate. And when I was having a conversation with Rabbi some time back, I told him, for me, I look at earth as a piece of real estate, but what you do with the earth to give birth to something, fruition, is what could be different, but the basis is real estate. Even if you're doing an internet thing, you need office space. So you'll be sitting on some piece of earth somewhere. So Christians, what do? You start buying land. And it's okay. And I think we need to get out of the lock and key thing that I'm in Uganda. I only have to own land in Uganda.
Exactly.
If you can buy land in Congo, buy it. If you can buy land in Kenya, buy it. And it doesn't have to be much. You know, I think we have this thing of end-time prosperity people who believe in the dominion of Christ, that certain things will just show up. But I've come to believe that if you buy that 1 acre, yeah, it could be your key, yeah, to owning 10,000 acres, yeah. And if you pay close attention, I don't want to say much about this, but even in this country, the people that own quote unquote the land, they are the minority, and it looks like they've finished all of it. But there is still more. Start, because they are not here to stay for long. That's a fact. But if I buy next to a man with 10,000 acres, and an opportune time comes, and this man has gone, let's face facts, some people have to go. You know, because, I mean, land has been sold time immemorial. So if I buy just an acre near this person, but by the time they leave, I can afford 1,000, I already have something. I'm now just adding. So that when the time comes now to plant, you plant your own things and have your own control. But I think that one of our biggest failures is the failure to start somewhere. Yeah. We just need to start somewhere and just trust that this God that we actually believe will give us a quickening. But the thing is, we start, some guys get just slightly hammered and they ignore. And I'm telling you this, I've been a victim of this in farming before. I've done it, I was hammered, and I was like, I will never go back to those things. But the thing is, there's a certain level of persistence needed. Because, like it or not, the one who influences the earth, Satan himself, sees a believer focused and determined to achieve something. You will and be hit.
Let me tell you, before Malik comes in, the enemy is investing in things. Just as I've talked about.
Yes.
One of the things in which he's investing and putting a lot of time into is transferring consciousness and to create an effect of eternal life. Now, let me tell you something. Ever since these shadow governments, and you can trace them back, George Washington talks about it, Theodore Roosevelt, this is 16th, 17th, 18th century, they're talking about deep state and shadow government. There are a group of people that have been in power, and that's how we started. And over time, most of these guys live for a specific time frame. Then they die, they pass over to their children. And so they control who their children marry, the schools their children go to, their sororities, fraternities, and all that. They maintain a pure bloodline. Now, what that tells us, the reason why the devil is putting so much energy into eternal life,
yes,
is because, first of all, this thing, first of all, what it tells us is that these guys dying, given no matter how old they are, the devil does not have power over life and death. He doesn't have that power. Resurrection does not fall within his confines. That's the confine of God. Okay? That's why even we're waiting for a few guys high ranked to die soon. We're waiting
to,
for
to
them.
Get out of the
yeah,
way.
To get out, yeah, of the way. But the devil is investing in eternal life, in a source, sort of transferring consciousness. He's investing in getting out of this planet and setting up a base in Mars. Why? Because there's a perception out there. They want to create a perception that the earth is going to be destroyed. Let me tell you something, and I want to, there is nothing like that in scripture. Paul talks about it, Ephesians 3:21. Can you get it for me? Yeah. Ephesians 3:21. You know, I was listening to you guys talk, and I realized you guys truly are experts. But I want to set up this, then I'll bring in Malik.
Ephesians 3:21 says, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Amen.
World
without end.
Yes. Don't go telling me the world is going to be
destroyed.
That the world is going to be destroyed.
It's truly good news, actually.
Okay? Yes. Now, what will happen to the earth is that the Bible talks about a new heaven, new earth. But the destruction of the world, now, they're creating that scenario that there's going to be a destruction and so on. And so, because they know that there is a war that is going to come, and they think they will survive it. You know that war when Jesus comes? I will show you the next session. What will happen? When Jesus comes, Scripture says, on his side will be the called and chosen and the faithful. The called and chosen are those, the called are those who are called to ministry, the chosen who are faithful in purpose, and the faithful are those who trusted him and overcame, and he will come with them. And those, it will be a battle. If you know how Superman lands when he comes to you.
Yes.
I want you to imagine yourself landing like that when you've just showed up. What will happen is that these guys are trying to build a base on Mars because they want to escape what they think is going to happen on this earth. You understand?
Yeah.
And so I don't know if you've even heard that they're going to talk about buying land.
They've already started talking about
buying land on Mars.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's a very interesting thing because
how do you buy like what you don't own?
Yeah.
It's just
a fun. That's not the question.
Yeah.
How do you sell what you don't own?
Yeah,
it's not yours.
Exactly.
So the thing is that whoever reaches first cuts for themselves
a plot
and says this plot here because it's on Mars.
Yeah, it is Mars.
And you see, by the way, see what Rabbi is talking about. Yeah. These guys have been trying to sell this narrative, creating these movies called Utopia, all those things.
Elysium. You
know? Elysium, all those things. Creating that thing that we can escape this thing. Then we go and inhabit another planet and they take various very crazy things.
Yes.
And people actually have believed it. That's why you see, right now, there's this whole thing of go green and all those things. Mother Earth. Now, if you see, these guys are fighting right now the oil industry. That's why you see the mushrooming electric cars and all those things. And it has also affected even our Ugandan oil because we went to get money to be a refinery. These guys came and inhibited whoever was supposed to get that money to be a refinery. Like, no, they will spoil the planet and all those things.
Can you imagine?
You get it? They were like in the Bill Gates and all those guys.
Yes.
So these are the guys who believe this thing. But you know, we need population. All these are the guys, you know?
Processed meat.
These are the guys, processed meat. All they're just a bunch of crazy things. But then there's one other aspect I wanted to touch on.
We have about 7 minutes or so. And then,
there's another aspect I wanted to touch on. The togetherness. Christians rising up. If you see how empires are built, like take over, the Bible talks about putting to flight 10,000 and 1,000. The explosive nature of the unity, if children of God came together and they went all that pettiness and competition and all and self-glory, and they said, guys, let's do what we have to do for this cause. That is very, very key. That is very, very key in these times. I believe so, that if all of us rose up in different sectors and we, because I tell you that we have so many great people among us. So many great people among us. It's just that we don't look inward. We always look at people outside. There's a great potential among us. Everyone, by the way, it's so funny that everyone you think you might need is within, around you for some reason.
Exactly.
But we never harness this potential that we have. We always look at, I think help should come from here, help should come from here. So, as children of God, we need to look inward. Everything that we need, every resource is right around you. It's just that competition, all these things, we need to forego all those things and say, now, what is more important? What's our focus? What do we prioritize here? What's our priority here?
Christians should also learn to be excellent.
Yes.
Not just say I was called.
Yes, exactly.
Actually, I would rather use a non-believer who is excellent for me than a Christian who is.
And that should be a wake-up call to a Christian who is not excellent.
For me,
I'm
that's
not going to eat fake food. What?
Just
all
because
those things,
you
just
are
because,
a believer.
Hey, and they go back, run stomach, all those things.
Because I never go to like God's grace, Baba. No.
No.
You either now to cut hair or you don't.
Yes. No,
it's a very serious issue.
A very serious issue. So this issue of togetherness, I've seen Israelis implementing it.
Yeah,
all these guys.
The Indians do it.
Actually,
you know those guys.
Indians here.
They sell things to each. They keep the money within themselves.
Exactly. Rabbi, let me give you an example. If an Indian came right from Bombay is there, like their village, in the sense, and he came here, he has people here that he calls godfathers here. So he comes, like, I need a job. Like, what can you do? You can even send him as far as Tororo. Like, you know what? I will give you goods. You sell. You make money. Send back my money.
Yeah.
And they see that guy, right? By the time 2 years elapses,
yeah,
that guy is somewhere. He's controlling that territory.
True.
But for us, this is mine. This is mine. This is mine. We never support each other.
Which is very sad.
And we need to do that for us to raise. Because two will put flat 10,000.
This morning, man. I don't know. I think the Lord was preparing me for this. Because I woke up and I had a name of a particular classmate of mine, an Indian. I studied abroad. And so her name hadn't come up in my mind for long. So I started to Google. So when I Googled her name, I found that she was in Boston. She lives in Boston. Boston, yes. So I was like, okay. So she's married, has a number of kids, went on Instagram. Nowadays it's easy to find. Then I started to see that, hold on a second, this girl that I was with, we studied the same things. She has 5 restaurants in Boston. Branches. She was in newspapers. They were congratulating her. We are the same age. Now, of course, my call is different, but I was thinking to myself, what? She's Indian, what? And then, there's one newspaper article that had her story, and she was talking about how when she came to Boston, she didn't have much. But there were, you know, fellow Indians within the society who were like, you know what, let us help our person. And like that, they were able to give her an initial capital, and she... And I was thinking... In Africa, you know,
Africa.
Now, leave alone Africa. The church.
You
see,
actually, yesterday is when I witnessed an event where different people were given a chance to do something and they did it right. That's part of it. And for me, you know, it's not good to ignore the small things. You know, people want to do big things before they do really good small ones, but they want to go and do the really big one.
First,
you know, you don't know how to cook chapati, but you want to go and make biryani. I mean, start small, start somewhere and move. And it's easy to move fast, Rabbi. It is so easy to move fast because God works 1, 2, then times 1 million. But you don't want to do that. But saying Christians and what, I would like to say this, that yes, I know we've had this so many times, Christians. I think this is going to be birthed when a group or set of people, let's say like the Kingsmen, are seen to exhibit that which they believe and talk about.
People might not know who the Kingsmen are.
Yeah, okay. I'm giving a hypothetical example to the listeners. Like if you're a group of friends, you don't even have to be friends. If you're a group of like-minded human beings, you start up something. You don't have to study together, by the way. That's what people get. Let's say hypothetically speaking, Afimani does security. Malik does finance. And Julius does real estate. Now, if I have the land where he puts his bank, he'll provide the security. It is done.
Yes. It's done.
Guys, we're coming towards the end of it, but I want us to give our last statements to the person out there that is listening. They say, okay, listen, there's some shadow government. I've heard that you said there's shadow government of Anange. We know that Jesus is coming back. We know that we need to invest in particular sectors, especially sectors that will help us as we come towards the revealing of the Antichrist and even those who we leave behind, who people will be shocked how many they are. Let's go there. And then there's someone out there saying, okay, here I am. I can't pay my rent. I believe in God. What should I do? How do I start? If the rapture is going to be anytime now, what part can I play? I'll start with this one.
In answering that question, I think if we asked people individually, one-on-one, and asked them for the honest truth of what they feel they need to do or what they can do to get somewhere, they would have an answer. So, mine is just to say, stop being petty. Let's get to work and do what we know we need to do. Fix what we know we need to fix.
Also,
we don't have extra time.
I would tell people to expand your mind. Expand your mind.
Yes.
The other day he said something interesting to me. Do you know that there are people out there, if you give them a billion, not dollars, shillings, they would buy a few things and still have money left over and not know what to do with it.
True.
You understand?
True.
Because the mind has
been locked up.
Isn't it locked up? So you have to open up your imagination. Stretch it. And think beyond the petty things of the things that you need to buy, which those ones will come very quickly anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we start going into agenda. Julius, your last words.
For me, this is what I would like to say. You have a network of people. Some people think they don't have a network, but they do. Ask. If you don't know, ask. He will tell you. There was a time I was having a hard time, but I think the Holy Spirit was trying to teach me something. And I called him as a friend and said, what do your office need? What does your office need in terms of supplies? Because I was ready to go. Many people are saying, I don't have anything to do, because they don't want to genuinely try. And don't underestimate work. It's honorable, however small or little it might seem. If you've never done a big business,
start something small.
It is okay. And grow. Please. I know they've had it from maybe motivational speakers, but it's a principle. It's biblical. Start somewhere.
And what do they have to lose in any case? Nothing. The rapture is soon.
Yes. Next rapture is soon. We are here. Wait. Yes. Oh, start. That's all I have to say.
Malik, last ones.
So, you've had us talking of space and all those things. And now you, the child of God, you have to ask yourself, if heathens, non-believers are thinking of space, things which are out of the world, where is your meditation as a child of God?
Mm.
You know, are you thinking of things which ordinary men are thinking about? Are you still thinking about food? Are you still thinking about that?
Right.
And yet there's a grand plan that you are a part of, which you're supposed to play in. So today I implore you to start asking the Lord what your purpose is in this grand plan. And you find it, because you are a participant. You're not just a spectator. You know, but thinking of creative things. Things which are out of this world. And we cannot be still thinking of rent, food. Every single time we go to the Lord, we want rent. We want food. We want this. And people out there are exploring new territories, new things, new businesses. And for us, we are just confined food, rent, transport, you know. So we have got to expand our hearts, our imaginations, so that we can accommodate this blessing that the Lord is about to release on earth.
Amen.
So you have to prepare your heart to receive this. And by saying that, you've got to begin imagining great and mighty things that you, I know the Lord has put power in you to accomplish them. So you've got to perceive yourself as the Lord perceives you, because you are a participant in this.
And of course, now you
and I'll say this as we're coming to a close, that it's one thing to know your call, but your call is irrelevant if it is not aligned to the agenda of God.
Mm.
And I've explained this before, that if someone was called to be a carpenter during the time of Noah, and they were not building the ark, it doesn't matter whether they were called to be a carpenter, they are irrelevant to the call. So you need to understand that your call needs to fall in line with what's happening. And the agenda is this in this time, Isaiah 2:2, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and His Christ. May God bless you. And remember this. Jesus said in Matthew 28, "Lo, I'll be with you even unto the end of the age." Gentlemen, thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you.